Take your Bibles, if it's possible for you to do so, and turn with me to the first chapter of the book of Romans. Listen to the Word of God if you're unable to follow along in your Bible. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised aforetime by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom also we have obtained grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you which are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Our subject today, the gospel of God. Today we shall begin a study of one of the greatest books of the New Testament. It is the book of Romans, and we shall be in there several weeks. And I urge every one of you to begin reading it as often as you are able to in the time that lies ahead of us. Romans is a foundation book of the New Testament, and it will ground everyone in the truths of God more than ever before. My hope is that this series of messages will prove a blessing to you, as they have been to me when I began to put them together. Our lesson falls in these two categories. First of all, the introduction to this book. The book of Romans was written by Paul from the city of Corinth upon his third visit to that city. The time was about 60 A.D., and the purpose of the book was this. Paul had a desire to give the believers at Rome a knowledge of the doctrines of grace God had given him, and which doctrines were so bitterly assailed by the legalistic critics of his day as they are at this present hour. Then, this epistle has a theme. It's the gospel of God, the very widest designation of the whole body of redemptive truth, and that's found in verse 1. Let me read it again to you, if I may. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And here we find the content of the gospel is what? All right, listen carefully if you will. The gospel promised in the scriptures of the Old Testament concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ was typified in Genesis chapter 4, prophesied in Genesis chapter 22, sacrificed in Exodus chapter 12, personified in Isaiah chapter 53, and then is set forth, personified also, or the gospel concern, the person of Christ, in verses 1 through 5 of our epistle at this present time. Now, notice carefully, the gospel concerns the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, Christ was made of the seed of David, which is his incarnation. He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1, verse 3. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience, listen now, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And so we find the Lord Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power, by the resurrection from the dead. Now listen carefully. The gospel is not a religion. It's the revelation of Christ to the heart. It's not a set of rules that you live up to. It is a person of the Lord Jesus Christ living within the individual. Now, do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. We find, listen carefully, Christ is a bestower of grace to the individual, and we see it set forth again in verse 5. By whom we have received the grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is a bestower of grace to the individual, and it ties in very clearly with Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, where it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now I hope you know what I'm talking about, and I hope every one of you are walking in the grace of God and walking in fellowship with our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we find also the gospel of God is a particular revelation of God. Now notice carefully. It is the Son of God in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, separated under the gospel of God. Then we find Jesus Christ is our Lord, made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Now, so the gospel is a particular revelation of God. It's the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Then we find there's the will of God in our salvation, because we find by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Then we find also that not only is it the gospel of God, but then we find it's not only speaks of the Son of God, and it speaks of the will of God, then we find also there's the power of God. Listen again, if you will, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And then that we find there's the power of God, and there's also involved in there in the rescue of God. You see, my friend, every individual outside of Christ has to be rescued by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, have you been rescued by him? Oh, I hope and pray that you have. Then we find the gospel is not only the power of God, but then in verse 17, we read these words. Listen to it. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so we find there's the gospel of God, and there's the will of God, and then there's the salvation of God, and there's also the righteousness of God. And then we find in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, why do we tell you all this? Because you see, my friend, the book of Romans speaks of the gospel of God. And the gospel of God is the good news of God, because that's what the gospel means. It means good news. And it's the good news of God to poor sinners who are dead in trespasses and sin. And we find it's the good news of God to individuals who perhaps are in a backslidden condition. We have the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ has not only finished the work that he's begun, but we find also he's going to come after us one of these days. And so you see, here you have the whole panorama of the gospel set forth in the book of Romans. And so I want you to notice it carefully, if you will. But then we find there's another thing here. What do we have here? All right, there's also not only the result of the gospel of God. Now remember, we're talking to you about the gospel of God. It's the content of the gospel, and we've been speaking to you about that for the last few minutes, and now we want to look at the result of the gospel of God. First of all, it's a declaration of God concerning Jesus Christ that has to be faced. Now what are you talking about? Well, go back, if you will, to our text again in Romans chapter 1, and you see it set forth for our learning. Now in Romans chapter 1, look again in verse 5. Notice what it says. Concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now what do we have here? All right, we have the declaration of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that has to be faced. Christ Jesus is not just some ordinary individual, my friend. He is the Son of God. He's the sovereign Lord of the universe. And I'll tell you right now, he's either your Savior or he's going to be your judge one day, depending upon your relationship with him. And so we find the declaration of God concerning Christ has to be faced by every individual that ever walks in shoe leather. We find, first of all, he is the Son of God with power. Then we find also, I want you to notice, he is also sovereign and he's also supreme. Now someone might say, well, where in the world do you find this? In verse 3, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now what do you have here? All right, the Lord Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God, but he's also sovereign and he's also supreme. And we need to understand that because people today don't want to give the Lord God of heaven the credit that is due to him. There's an ultimatum to obedience that is given. And where in the world do you find that? Again, in verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's an ultimatum there given to obedience. We find there's also the sanctification that involves every individual that's connected with the gospel of the Lord God of heaven. If you're a believer today, my friend, I'll tell you right now, you've been separated unto the gospel by the Lord God of heaven, because he said, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do you have here? We have separation unto the gospel of all who are the called of God. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been called by the Lord God of heaven? Have you been called unto obedience in the Lord Jesus Christ? And then I'll tell you right now, when you've been called, it's a separation unto the gospel of all who are called, and we see it set forth again in verse 6, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Well, now, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, who are the called? Well, business people are called, farm people are called, and we find professional people are called, and we find money and self is dedicated unto God in our sanctification, and we become what is called servants of Christ, which really means bond slave. And we find, what are you talking about? That involves a self-surrender unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are in debt to him. It reminds me of the book of Jeremiah, where Nebuchadnezzar was either the savior of the city of Jerusalem, or he was a judge of the city of Jerusalem. And are you listening? The Lord Jesus Christ is the same thing. He's either your savior, or he's going to be your judge. When he's your savior, we find not only are we called by God, but we are also what? We are called saints, and therefore we are beloved by the Lord God of heaven. Now, a lot of people don't seem to understand what the word saint means. But the word saint means that you belong unto the Lord God of heaven. And it means that there was an effectual call given to those whom the Lord chooses to become his servants. You see, the salvation of God is all of God, and it's all of grace. And I'll tell you right now, we need to understand that. And so many people today think that they can get saved anytime they feel like it. No, my friend, you're going to get saved according to God's time. And God's time for every sinner at this present hour is now. And now is the accepted time. And today is the day of salvation. And we are urged by the book of Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Because there's going to come a time when people are going to seek the Lord and they're not going to be able to find him, and that lies in the future. And therefore, there's an imperative laid upon every individual, and that is this: you and I better come to a knowledge, a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means what happens, all right? We find we become a servant or a bond slave of Christ, and that's found in verse 1, and then also again in verse 6. No, it is called to be saints. They're called saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it mean? When we become a servant of Christ, all right, we become his bond slave, which means there's a self-surrender on the part of the individual, and then we are indebted to the Lord Jesus Christ for his great salvation that he bestows upon us. And then, and when that happens, we become a saint of God, which means we belong to him. We are also in his kingdom, and we find not only that, we find we're in debt to Christ, as I mentioned before, and then we're beloved of God. Now you stop and realize, what does that include? Well, it includes John 3:16, does it not? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And are you listening? You know him, because he's called you by name. Now, this is a great statement, because I'll tell you right now, the book of Romans is a tremendous book. And my hope is that as I brought some of you things this day, that has blessed your heart, as it's blessed my heart. And what a privilege it is to be called of God and to be beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to come to know him as your Lord and your Savior. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Oh, my friend, if there's any question of doubt whatsoever, let me urge you to begin right there, even now, to sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and you're the sinner. Until we meet again, this is Pastor North here of the Mercies of God saying goodbye for now, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for listening to the Mercies of God radio broadcast with the late Dr. Peter Nortier. For more about Mercies of God, go to our website, merciesofgod.org. That's merciesofgod.org. If this program is a blessing to you, send your tax-deductible contributions to the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, M-O-G-A, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Once again, the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, M-O-G-A, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Or go to the website, merciesofgod.org.